Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back into Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner. And joining me, as he does every month, is Maryville R2 Superintendent, Dr. Logan Lightfoot.
So we're kind of starting off with two big things this month. We'll get to Proposition Jump here soon, which is going to be decided next month. But first, we kind of have a big announcement, so I don't want to kind of steal your thunder. I kind of want to let you announce it and take it away.
Yeah, well, Jeremy, thanks as always. It's great to be on air on KXCV. And yeah, we've got a couple big things going on at Maryville right now. Specifically, we are looking at our athletic department, and we have been advertising for an athletic director, someone to kind of take the helm and develop student athletes and kind of build our athletic program. And I am very, very happy and proud to announce our next athletic director is Coach Matt Webb.
Coach Webb, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me this morning. I'm looking forward to the opportunity and certainly open to, you know, talk about the exciting things coming in our athletic department.
Was this position on your radar when it opened?
I've been the football coach at Maryville since 2012, and you know, being a head football coach in this community and understanding what that means and the leadership roles that I've been through throughout my career in athletics and coaching football, you know, you do kind of, as a head football coach, you become a lot more of the administrator duties than growing up and throughout my career as an assistant. So, you know, when you're a head coach in a sport and you're kind of working directly with the athletic director on things and throughout your program, and you get kind of the ins and outs on how things work. And then so then you look at, you know, where this opportunity came open, you know, with the change and with it happening, you know, I just, you know, felt like, you know, what a great opportunity to be able to reach, you know, not only just football players in our community and in our school district, and you know, not just solely focus on the football part of it, but the opportunity to be the athletic director and to be able to, you know, coaches and teachers and educators get into this to help change lives and you know, better experiences for students, and athletes aren't any different. I view it as a great opportunity to be able to help and, you know, lead all of our athletic programs, and you know, in that case, benefit a lot of the student athlete experience.
Not to rewind a bit, but, you know, for maybe those who don't know you as well, tell us a little bit about how you ended up in Maryville and ended up with the school district.
Yeah, sure. I ended up in Maryville because I was born here. My parents decided to have a child, so I was born on September 11th, 1974, at St. Francis Medical Center. I was born and raised in Maryville, graduated from, went through Eugene Field, and my mom, Dina Webb, was a teacher at the fourth grade level for her entire career, 18 years here in Maryville. My dad's Bob Webb, he was a minister of First Baptist Church for my entire career here and my entire school career. So I walked the halls at Eugene Field, went and sat in the Kiva as a student, and went up the hill to what was then Maryville Middle School, Washington Middle School, which was, you know, since torn down, and where the new police department is. It's not new anymore, but where the new fire and police station is. And then graduated, walked the halls of Maryville High School, and graduated as a Spoofhound in 1993. And so since then, after graduating from Maryville, I went to William Jewell College and decided I was going to wanted to continue playing football, and that was my love and kind of my interest at the time, and got an opportunity to play football at William Jewell College. Had some really good influence by my coaches. You know, people ask, why are you coaching? And I think it's a direct correlation to men in my life growing up that helped me make the right decisions. well, not always the right decisions, but helped guide me make those better decisions in my life and in my academics and keeping those on the forefront. And, you know, the things that a true student athlete represent, it's not just, you know, athletic ability and winning games, but the character development and the culture development. So went to William Joe College, and at that time decided, I graduated with a degree in communications from William Joe and decided I want to coach college football. So I started off as a graduate assistant at Southwest Baptist University down in Bolivar. That's where I met my wife, Amy. She's from there, and her family's from Bolivar, Missouri. Then I moved and took an assistant job at Southeast Missouri State for 5 years. Received my master's degree from Southwest Baptist in education back in, you know, early 2000s, and then coached college football for 15 years. And then we ended up moving and having a job moved to Southeastern Louisiana in Hammond, Louisiana. So if anybody around here knows how to pronounce my daughter's birth certificates, they were born in Tangipahoa Parish, try and spell that, in the city of Ponchatoula, Louisiana. So some definite Cajun terms down there. We coached and Amy taught down there, and we had our two children, Maggie and Molly, in South Louisiana, and were there for 7 years. And then this opportunity came open back in Maryville to be the head football coach in 2012. So we moved back here, and so our daughters have grown up in the Maryville School District. Maggie is a senior now, she'll be graduating here in a couple months. And then Molly is an eighth grader, will be a freshman next year in Maryville High School. And my wife Amy teaches seventh grade down at the middle school.
Okay, and it sounds so much like your sports career has been football. Mm-hmm. You know, as athletic director, you know, I assume you knew everything before, you know, becoming interested in the role and then accepting the role. But, you know, how do you kind of, you know, expand upon, you know, everything you've taken from football and begin applying it to everything else, like baseball, track and field, you know, so on and so forth?
Yeah, I think, you know, the number one thing is I think if those that are listening that do know me, sometimes I think one of the, you know, the worst things you can say is, oh, you're just a dumb jock, or you're just a football coach, or you're just a football player. Maryville's unique. I grew up in this community, and it's all about relationships. And so I think one of the things that is unique about Maryville is the idea of being a multi-sport athlete. We're in that size of school and school district to where sports specification, now it is at some of the larger schools. I think that's when you look at, you know, the kind of the national trend on things, it doesn't matter if you play, if, you know, you may be, football was my thing. Like I said, my experience has been as a football coach. But some of the most influential people that I listen to are leadership styles, or it's all about relationships and knowing that the multi-sport athlete is what's so important. I've been able to coach some very good football players that have gone on to have a chance in the NFL, and all those guys were either baseball or basketball or track and field, and then you look at the, you know, the women's sports and being able to play multiple sports, you gain so much from coaching. It's being about teams, it's about teamwork. It's not necessarily the sport, to me, is kind of irrelevant. It's about teamwork, it's about relationships, it's about leadership. Those culture pieces, I think, are so important.
So big picture, what are you kind of envisioning for your role?
Well, I'm the athletic director, so you know, I'm kind of, you know, and with the way I envision it is to be able to be an advocate for some really good, you know, we are very fortunate in Maryville to have some really good head coaches and assistant coaches and staff that lead our programs. And you know, when you think about, you know, I've been fortunate as a head football coach to be on some teams and coach some teams that have won state championships in 2012, 2013, and 2017. We've played for the state championship in football two other times. So the success of wins and losses, it has been about anything I've experienced, it's all about the players, and it's about the student athletes and their experience. And how you do that is you build a culture of standards. You build a culture of, here's what a Spoof Hound is. You know, like I said, I'm a graduate. I'm a Spoof Hound. It's unique. You know, we're not only we're the only Spoof Hound in the state of Missouri. That's great. We're the only Spoof Hound in the United States. As I tell the kids, we're the only Spoof Hound in the galaxy and in the universe. So we are unique. Our mascot's unique. Our student athletes should be unique. And we should set the standard for what is good. What is good is out there in the world of athletics. When I say student athletes, you know, our academics always come first. Those type of culture pieces is what I envision within our athletics program.
Not to make this sound like a job interview question, although I feel like maybe you were potentially asked it during your interview. Looking at Spoofhound Athletics as a whole, what would you say is its greatest strength and weakness, and how do you plan to utilize that strength, and how do you plan on, you know, improving upon that weakness to make it a strength?
Wow, there's a lot of questions there to answer.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. I'll start with this. You know, I think our greatest asset as being a Spoofhound is kind of what I mentioned. Is the student athlete, and as long as that's always at the forefront, and realizing, you know, how we coach our student athletes. You know, I have children. My wife and I raised our children in this community. We're very familiar with our community, and they are student athletes. And when you think of what that means, is I want my own children to be coached in a way that is demanding but not demeaning. We're going to make sure that the student athlete is valued, whether they are a starter or whether they are a member of a team. What wins championships and what is excellence? It's teamwork. It's the idea of working together towards a common goal. So I think our largest asset we have going, and again with my experience here the last 12 years, is it's fun to walk the halls of any one of our districts and our buildings in our district and see the students and be involved in the relationships and how do you get their experience to be the best it can possibly be. And to be a part of a team, like I said, of administrators, of teachers, of coaches, of assistant coaches, and then student athletes. I mean, it's an all-encompassing job, the athletic director, but all those, you know, play a factor in overall success.
Okay. You know, the only other question I can think of really, I mean, there's plenty of questions I can think of, but the only other question I kind of have is, how long do you see yourself in this role, until retirement or?
Yeah, well, I mentioned I moved from Louisiana 12 years ago, and so I didn't start teaching until 2012 in the Missouri State District. You know, I'm 49 years old. I'll turn the grand age of 50 this fall. I envision myself walking the sidelines probably someday on a golf cart or a wheelchair or a bad hip or whatever the way life works. But, you know, I envision – you know, we've raised our family here, and Maryville's our home, and we love everything about it. So I don't see any future of me moving anywhere down the road. But one of the other things I wanted to mention is what's one of the reasons that I was interested in this position at this time is what is sitting out in front of us now with opportunity, and where, you know, I kind of envision it like you're driving a race car and you're going down the road, and you know, you want to push the accelerator and go, you know, 8, 9, 10. And what we have in front of us with Proposition Jump coming up with improvements into our entire school district. That's the unique thing about it. As the athletic director, I'm very excited about the enhancements it'll make to our outside complexes with turf fields. You know, those things are, as I talked about with the student athlete experience, it's huge. You know, I've coached in football games where that field is muddy, it's rainy, and is not the best surface that you can play in. I've coached on that football field when it's frozen, when it's ice, and again, it's not the most safe environment to play a football game on, a frozen tundra. You know, I've coached in on turf fields, and to be able to have the access and have a uniform surface that you can count on, that'll be there rain, sun, you know, wind, whatever it is. Not only on the football field, that will enhance our soccer development, but also our band currently is practicing out on the concrete in the morning before school. They'll have a great opportunity for, again, you know, in my opinion, that's a student that has an experience that their experience will be enhanced, and, you know, because of the turf football and soccer fields. Beyond that, you had baseball and softball. The opportunities to push that thing on that accelerator to a level of 8, 9, and 10 are really, and you know, appealing to me, exciting, you know, the opportunities that our entire community will have to be able to have use on those fields. When I talk to other communities similar to our size that have, you know, turf athletic complexes, their field is used all the time, sun up to sundown, and it's going to be fun and exciting to see the entire community use it and the development that it'll help in all of our athletics.
Have you heard any concerns from parents or others in the community about, you know, changing the turf? Because, you know, there is any kind of change, there's always concern about what it'll be impact-wise in the future. So, you know, has there been anybody who's told you, you know, and voiced their concerns about it?
Yeah, I don't know if, if it's necessarily voicing concerns, but I think the unique thing, again, about relationships in Maryville and our community is the questions, and it's okay to ask questions because they are a stakeholder in this. We're all in this together if you're in a relationship. So when they ask questions like that, whether it's viewed as a concern or not, I think it's been awesome to have an opportunity to kind of explain and get on the same page and realize, there's a part of our fields that are going in with the technology. It's called a shock pad, and that shock pad is there specifically for concussion readiness. That's a development within turf that, you know, when they started putting it in years ago, they didn't use that. Well, these new companies are using a shock pad. That's excellent. So when parents or stakeholders have a concern about, you know, a playing surface or for safety for their child, I think when they understand that the companies that we're investing in are top of the line, they're very good, and we've done our research, and I know other places that have this same, you know, we've walked it. You know, I've coached years for on, you can walk on a turf field and realize, yeah, this is a good product, or you can walk off and be like, that was a bad product. And what we have done our research on is to get a good product that's safe, that those concerns can be answered and everybody can feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, speaking to, you know, testing out and walking on different turfs your whole life, you know, during your time with the Maryville R2 school district, has there been times where you've been to other school districts in the conference or maybe outside the conference where you check out their facilities and you go, oh, this is something we don't have, I would like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of leadership. I think that's part of realizing, staying up with the times and kind of, you know, always wanting what's best. Like I said, if you want to operate at an 8, 9, or 10, that's I think you're always kind of out there and being a constant learner and a constant researcher on stuff. I enjoy that. Like I mentioned, my daughter's dance, and we are so fortunate in Maryville to have the Performing Arts Center. That was a bond that went through years ago. And our fine arts have a facility that is top of the line. And when I go and with my daughters and to dance or to music stuff at some of the other school districts, whether that be in the suburban Kansas City area or around the state of Missouri, and watch them perform in those type of venues and realize what we have here in Maryville, those are awesome. But at the same time, I look at our athletic facilities and where they're at and what our competition is, like you said, within our conference, whether that's Cameron, whether that's Chillicothe. We play at Blair Oaks in football. We play at Smithville. We play in some, you know, venues that are all over the state. And you realize our student athletes right now we're not at the same level as some of those other because of the grass fields and the maintenance that is required on the grass fields. And what this bond does, and I mentioned that the exciting part is it gives our student athletes every chance and every opportunity to be on the same level playing field that our competition is.
Okay. And, you know, I don't want to take all the prop jump thunder from you, but nobody can tell, but I'm looking at Logan. Big issue coming up. What has been the feedback that you've gotten from talking with people, not only all this month, but, you know, throughout this year so far in 2024?
You know, I guess, and that's a good question. And I think probably the best way I can answer that is I've had a lot of dialogue and a lot of discussion with folks. And one thing that's so encouraging about our community, you know, we can agree on every single piece of this bond project, or we can't, or we might not, and that's okay. But one thing I have seen overwhelmingly with the folks in our community, and they have an incredible investment in our kids, and they care about our schools. And I guess as a superintendent, you can't give higher praise for a community. You know, we are truly, Maryville is truly invested in Maryville R2, and that's I would say just in general, you know, whether we have, you know, whatever the percentage of the turnout of the vote is or whatever the case might be, if you've got folks that have students in school, if you've got folks that have students that graduated, whatever it is, there is such an interest in our school district and such a passion to see our kids in our school district succeed. And so that's been very encouraging to me.
And, you know, because we're so close to crunch time, you know, and getting all the feedback, are you comfortable with – it passing, whether it's razor thin or a landslide? Are you comfortable with it passing?
I'm not dodging your question here, but
don't want to jinx it.
I will tell you kind of what my, just to avoid cliche, what my heart tells me on something like this is everything we're proposing in this bond is good for kids. And we boiled it down to three goals we have. Number one, does it keep our kids safer? Number two, does it provide a better learning environment, better student experience? And number three, do we take our existing spaces and maximize them to what they could possibly be? And so every piece of this project has a component of that. And so whether you look at our elementary end where we're providing safe and secure entrances, we're providing larger classrooms, you look at our middle school, we're going to look at improving the air quality there and just the overall learning environment and working environment there. Or the high school, we're adding several security features to keep our kids safe as they come into school, in their cars, when they enter the school building. All those things play a part in those three goals. And so I guess to answer your question, I feel like as a school district, we have put together a bond and we put together some projects that are going to help students now and 30 years down the road.
So but it sounds like, the way the bond issue is, and this is, I feel, true for any bond issue or any kind of amendment or anything, but it always seems like when you have such a master plan, there's always going to be that one thing that maybe someone doesn't like. They like everything else, but they don't like that one thing. Sure. So in a lot of ways, would you say this is just kind of a big kind of, this is kind of a compromise of a lot of different ideas?
I think that's an interesting way to look at it. And I don't know if I'd use the word compromise. I would say we did a full needs assessment of our school district. And so we did, this would have been February of 2022. We started doing some staff surveys, some community polling. We had a community interest night. All these kind of pieces of feedback and information we got from our teachers, from our community members. And then we actually had some, I call them experts because they are, architects and engineers come in and assess our buildings, all those kinds of things. And our priorities and our goals were kind of laid out by what we gathered from that. So, back to your point, every single thing we're doing, does every single person agree with? I mean, I wouldn't say that would be an impossible goal to have, but I'll go back to everything we're putting together in this really does benefit kids very well.
Okay. And I don't want to just say that prop jump our discussion on it's over, but I guess the only other question I would have, and this is for both of you, but what would you say is your favorite piece of it? What is it, the thing that you really want people to know, hey, this is what I see is the thing that'll have an impact for generations in the Maryville R2 school district?
Coach, if you don't mind, I'll take the first one on this one. So, when you talk about impact on students and you talk about impact on athletes and those kinds of things, I think Coach Webb hit the nail right on the head when he was talking. We can build these great buildings, and then I think this proposition really does put us in an excellent position to update our facilities. But really, when it comes down to it, the power in Maryville is our people, and how successful we are as a school district and a community lies within the adults we put in those classrooms, the adults we put on those practice fields, wherever the case might be, to really make sure our kids are put in a position to be successful. And so I don't know if I can point to one specific piece of our bond that, says this is going to be the thing that's going to put us over the top. We just have great people and great adults in Maryville R2. And I think in enhancing facilities and enhancing, doing all those things, that can only keep those good adults and maybe attract some more. Maryville's a special place, and I say this a lot, that no one ever ends up in Maryville by accident. We're not a bedroom community. We're not 10 minutes from downtown Kansas City. So folks that move here want to be in Maryville, and it's our job as a school district to find the best possible people we can to put in our classrooms and to put in front of our kids.
And I'd echo with that and saying, my unique perspective and the thing I'm most excited about is with this proposition jump is the fact that, I mentioned, I grew up in Maryville. I was born and raised here. I feel like a lot of people in this community know me and know my family. And as Dr. Lightfoot said, Maryville is a unique place. But at the same time, when you think of this, when I heard this coming about and knowing that it was building up, look at what JUMP stands for. You know, that's an acronym for Join Us Making Progress. And that's what Maryville is. And that's what I've born and raised for 49 years and knowing what Maryville is. It's about being progressive and realizing what's best for students, not only student athletes, our school district, anything I can remember growing up. Maryville has always supported the education, and again, it's in ties with Northwest. It's an education community, and when you talk about progress, you think about, you know, there's an, you know, again, it's spoofy jumping out of an airplane on a parachute, and you've got to have wind beneath that parachute for it to open up and go. So as Dr. Lightfoot said, the improvements for 30 years down the road, this is an important bond because it affects everybody within our district, whether you have an early child, somebody that's young, that's just starting our school district, or whether you have a graduate, somebody that's a current junior that's going to be a senior next year. It's a great thing for our community.
All right. Well, anything else you guys want to add about Proposition JUMP?
No, not so about Proposition JUMP. I just want to go back and want to welcome Coach Webb to the leadership team. I've had a privilege. You know, I've been here a year and a half now, and I've had great opportunities to be able to hire some folks in our leadership team. And, you know, when you look at your ideal mold, or in my opinion, of a school leader, it's not, I mean, you certainly want to have knowledge of curriculum, and you certainly want to have knowledge of school operations and those kinds of things. But when it really boils down to it, we want to add people in our leadership that have high integrity, that preach high character, and also live as a high character person, and make decisions that impact people positively. And that's kind of what we look for, no matter if it's an athletic director or a principal or a director, whatever the case might be. Those are the kind of folks we want on our leadership team, and I think that's exactly what we got in Matt Webb.
All right. Well, not to completely shift away from Matt, but it sounds like another position is potentially on the horizon in this district. There was a discussion about a Maryville Middle School assistant principal position.
We do.
What kind of brought about this? Is this a new position?
It's not. So okay. We, again, going back to being fortunate, a leadership team, we've been able to hire internally quite a bit since I've been here. And so Mr. Porin, who's the current Eugene Field principal, he's going to be moving up to be the assistant superintendent next year to take Mr. Klotz's spot if Mr. Klotz retires. And Shelly Green, who is the current Maryville Middle School assistant principal, is actually moving down to be the head principal at Eugene Field. And so opens up a position for assistant principal at Maryville Middle. And that's one of the, again, when you talk about leadership of any kind, it's an important position. But this is an incredibly important position because you've got Maryville Middle School has long been one of our flagship buildings. And there's a lot of programs in there that we're very proud of as a school district. And we want to have folks in leadership positions there that can really champion those things and find ways to make it better.
Okay. One thing I noticed from the Board of Education meeting, and I feel like maybe we've discussed this before, but the addition of a weight room in the school district, is this, what's the plans, and how did this come about?
Yeah, so then that's a great question on that. So we're actually going to extend the weight room in the back of Maryville Middle School.
Okay.
And this actually serves two purposes, Jeremy. So a couple of years ago, we were able to get some grant dollars through some teacher retention grants and things like that. And so the idea came about that we want to provide some opportunities for our Maryville R2 staff to be able to maintain a healthy lifestyle, to be able to, you know, exercise, those kinds of things, have access to high quality equipment, all that kind of thing. We were able to purchase some of that equipment. But in our school district, if you kind of walk around our buildings, we don't have a whole lot of extra room on those things. And so we kind of looked, you know, what are some ways that we can maybe build out a little bit and doesn't cost a whole lot of money, but could provide some really good value for our staff and a nice benefit for our staff. And then on the flip side of that too, we've got a very good middle school PE department. And they do great with our kids on keeping them active. And one of those pieces when you're in middle school is you get introduced to weight training and resistance training and that kind of thing. And we just have a very small weight room at that middle school. And so that additional room is actually going to double. So during the school day, we're going to be able to take advantage of that with our kids to be able to have a larger area. And then before or after school hours, all our two staff's going to have a key card to be able to get in there and use that as an exercise room.
And Coach, what is, What does additional weight room space mean for you?
Oh, I think it's awesome. You know, our like as Dr. Lightfoot said, our you know, student athletes, you know, we start playing, you know, in seventh grade down there, and they're, you know, it's just like anything, you know, our community, when you have kids, you know, you want them to learn the correct way of doing something, and you can get on YouTube and a lot of different weight programs and not really know what you're doing, but to have certified PE teachers and knowledgeable people teaching our children and how to lift correctly, how to use resistance correctly, you know, you start developing, you know, motor skills, and you can enhance those through the PE day throughout the day. I've always been a proponent on getting up and exercising. I think any of us will say when you start your morning with exercise, you seem to have a better day. And when you start that at the middle school level and having this facility enhanced, will make their experience better and give our coaches more opportunities to reach more kids. And I think it's great for our staff as well to be able to get in and burn some calories and stay fit.
Yeah. Is this something that staff and the school district has kind of wanted? Because, you know, the Maryville isn't like there's not a Planet Fitness anywhere or anything right. People can sign up for. So is this something that, you know, staff and faculty at the school district have been kind of clamoring for?
Yeah, we do an annual needs survey with our staff and a health and wellness survey. And some of those questions have been on there for several years now about availability for not only space but also programming. And so through this new area, we're also looking at some ideas on how to potentially do some, you know, before school yoga or fitness, some classes that our staff could actually take that other staff members teach. And so just I think it's going to be a great opportunity all around.
Okay. And not to completely switch gears, but looking forward, prom is just around the corner in the school district. What's kind of the planning going on there? I know students mainly plan it, but, you know, there is a little oversight on the school district's end.
There is. And we have prom early this year a little bit. And we actually, Jeremy, I don't know if you know this, but we have a resident expert on prom, and he's sitting in this room right now. And that would be Matt Webb.
Yeah.
And I'll actually turn it over to Coach Webb to talk a little bit about
great
prom.
Question. As I mentioned earlier, I have a daughter that's a senior. So last year, we went through the junior prom experience, and it's awesome. Our staff does a great job of, you know, creating a good environment for prom. They do the kind of red carpet walk in our performing arts center, to where, you know, every you know, student that's going to prom, you know, gets to walk across a red carpet, and your name's announced with your date and multiple pictures. As a father, I can tell you, you know, every dad that's listening to this, you know, make sure you got your hair cut and you got your ears trimmed and that sort of thing, because you're going to get a lot of pictures taken. But it's great for the students, and it's, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't change with the times. Everybody remembers their prom, and we do a great job with valet and cars when the kids show up, and, you know, some kids kind of get an antique car or something unique for that night and make a nice experience of it. But they've hosted it at our high school gymnasium for the last few years, and they do a great job. Our juniors kind of, you know, they do some decorating there on the Friday before, and that's kind of prom work day, and it's supervised by staff. I'm not on the rotation this year for prom supervision, so I'm kind of thankful for that. That's a long night and a long 2 days, but it's also a great experience for kids and parents, and they do a great job of making it memorable.
Is there a theme for this year's prom?
Oh, you had to have asked me that.
Right. There was.
I mean, I'm curious.
Let's go back to football questions, athletic department questions. Yeah.
All right. Well, I got a better one. What was the theme for the prom you attended?
Oh, Lord. That was nice. Well, I was fortunate to be, you know, I went to multiple proms back in my day. So if, when you look at yearbooks, the kids bring those out and remember what I looked mm-hmm. back in 1991, 92, 93. Let's just say, Under the Sea. I'm sure that was probably one of them. That's probably overused, but somewhere in those 3 years, Under the Sea. It was some aqua theme or something.
My senior prom was Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven.
Yes.
It was what?
Stairway to Heaven. Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin. Where's your, yeah.
No, I know. That just seems like a... That almost seems like a very creepy premonition to have on prom night, Stairway to Heaven.
Well, I can...
Although it can be something... well, we won't go into that. But
yeah, it was... Stairway to Heaven, and our senior class song was Freebird by Leonard Skinner. So,
oh man,
we were quite the classic rock class.
Does that mean you played it at one point and you were there for 20 minutes just listening to it?
Think about Stairway to Heaven in your senior prom if you're dancing, and you know most guys 17, 18 years old they're not used to dancing and doing all, and that's like a 15 minute song in itself, right? And then absolutely. And then the Freebird during graduation got a little bit long as well.
That's a good question, Jeremy. I sit in here every week with Matt Trenton and talk football, and we always have a segment that's Stump the Coach, and he has not stumped me on a question yet. So congratulations, you stumped Coach this morning.
Well, what does he try to stump you on?
Just trivia questions are usually, it involves something with football and spoof hounds or, you know, his favorite team, the Raiders, or something like that.
So. Has he tried Seinfeld?
He has not tried Seinfeld.
Because him and Logan have a little thing where they try and, like, quote Seinfeld casually to each other to see if they can get one past each other.
Oh, I got one. He was dropping his kids off. I was at crosswalk duty this week, and
yeah.
I got a pretty good one in on him.
Is there a crosswalk episode of Seinfeld I don't remember?
Oh, it's when George tries to get Frogger across the street.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I remember that one.
I don't know what to ask next because just of all the, I know what I was going to ask. Was for the Stairway to Heaven, what do you make for the theme of that? Do you just have like clouds everywhere and like a Golden Gate or like?
If I recall right, that's about exactly what it was. We had like a big stairway kind of thing, and yeah, that was it was an interesting prom and.
So, this is just me dipping into one of my favorite songs, but why not go with "Paradise by the Dashboard Light" by Meatloaf?
Now that would be all right, wouldn't it? But I don't know if that would play very well at a high school prom.
I think that because you have prom dinners and it's a whole day event, so everybody could have Meatloaf that night. I think it's great. Just serve Meatloaf.
I didn't realize this, by the way, and this would be. Coach, this is more of your forte now, but I didn't realize that. Prom is not just the dance anymore. Is this correct? You have a pre-prom dress, and then you have a prom dress.
Yeah. A what?
Well, there's different outfits to this thing now.
Yeah, there's different outfits and multiple. And sometimes you'd think those outfits could be worn more than once. No, everything's got to be new every year on those things. You have a pre-prom outfits, and then pictures before, and then during, and. After, and then we do have a really nice project prom that our parents help support afterwards for, to keep it safe overnight, and there's a lot of events and the kids are up late, so there's usually an outfit for that too, a post-prom, whatever you're wearing to project prom afterwards. You gotta have something different to wear for that.
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It sounds like some kind of Pride and Prejudice event or Downton Abbey. I mean,
it sounds
more like complicated than when I was in school.
Yeah, but you know what? We joke about this, but the fun thing about it is I get to go up and watch, and the kids just have so much fun. And it's a neat thing to see. Maryville's just this kind of perfect mix of we're small town, but we're a little bit bigger. And, so it's fun to watch just all the different kind of kids that go to our prom and just to watch them all out on the dance floor or they're playing games or whatever. Like, it's just a cool night. And, It's just, I think it's a little bit unique with what we have here in Maryville, and it's kind of fun to watch our kids.
I'm still kind of wrapped up in the three different outfits thing. Is that true for the men?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of them yes, some of them not. Some of them would just seem to wear blue jeans and t-shirt most of the night, and that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be me.
That'd be me too.
All right, well, anything else going on in the school district that either of you would like to talk about? Athletics, anything?
No, we're off to a great start for the spring, and I don't know if folks had a chance to go and watch our spring play, but kids did outstanding performances there, and Spectrum wrapped up their season a few weeks ago, and they had, if you got to see the Spectrum show, if you didn't get to see the Spectrum show, you missed out. Talk about classic rock, they were back-to-back-to-back-to-back classic rock songs, and they sounded fantastic. So a lot of good stuff going on with our kids right now, and just fun time to be in Maryville, that's for sure.
So and this is just a random tangent by me, but what kind of classic rock? Because I learned I went to Vegas recently, and I learned that all the music from my childhood is now considered the dad classic rock.
Well, I will tell you, they hit you right out of the gate with Renegade.
Oh.
So Little Styx.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard Renegade being performed by a choir before. Well, quasi choir, but
yeah.
You know, by a group, by an ensemble, whatever you want to call that. But they just, I mean, they rocked it. We went down and I took my family down and watched them at Platte County, and if you've ever been in that Performing Arts Center, it's huge. And I mean, they brought the house down. It was awesome.
Any Scorpions?
No Scorpion. I mean, when I say classic rock, it's that Styx American rock genre.
Okay. All right. Well.
I know. Coming up with athletics, spring is so busy, and that's another thing that's unique. You got prom coming up. You've got, like I said, a break time over Easter break there, but we had our time trials last night with our track team, and it was, you know, sometimes when you deal with Northwest Missouri, you deal with weather. And so it was kind of a cold, blustery night for everybody that was out there. But our time trials were great. I know our baseball team this weekend, I know they play, I think they play today, they play tomorrow, they play a doubleheader on Saturday, and then they turn around and play again on Monday. So very busy time for them. And our girls' soccer team has had a win this week against Savannah, which is always good when you beat that team from down south. So all these programs are up and running, and our middle school track program, they get to up and going now pretty soon. Next week with competitions, and they travel different places, and we're hosting events, and that stuff will be out there. And I think the more you can get out and, like I said, you know, enjoy the versatility of our student athletes and our athletic programs is always awesome, and spring's a great time to be represented by all of them.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that, you know, we're transitioning from winter sports to spring sports, and for some reason, it got colder than it was during winter sports.
Yeah, there's truth to that.
I'd say one of the a fun event to really get to is watch our tennis team. Our boys' tennis team is really good, and Coach McGinnis does a great job, and it's an exciting sport, and it's active, and get out and watch them. Our golf, it's always a great day to go out and watch golf sometime, and, you know, Coach Ricks will have them out there and on the links, and I'm not a good golfer, but I enjoy watching good golf.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and transition to the kind of second part of the show, which is where it's the Better Know a Superintendent segment, where I kind of – but you can ask, answer the questions as well. And these are just kind of random questions to kind of better know Logan and, well, you as well, Coach Webb. So the one thing I kind of wrote down this week, and I feel like anyone can relate to this. This isn't just us three here relating to it. Anybody can relate to this, but – what is the worst household chore to you? For me, it is just folding laundry. There's just something about I take all my dirty clothes, put them here, wash them. Something about taking it out and then folding it neatly just for me to screw up again. Just I can't do it. I hate it.
I'm thinking. Coach Webb, you got one?
Oh, man. I don't know if it's the worst household chore, but I enjoy mowing our yard. I enjoy being outside and getting that done. The problem is my expectations of my females in my house. I live, like I said, I have a wife and two daughters. We have a dog named Champ. He's my only other male in the house. And then we have a dog named Millie. So a lot of times Champ and I spend our time outside. So no, for no other reason, just to have some bro code time outside. But so he and I like to work out in the yard, and I enjoy that. But probably the competition part of it is it's never as good as you want it to be. And so this time every year, I'm always thinking, I wish my grass was greener. I wish I had a better product. So it's cut. Let's say that.
Okay.
So we have a little bit of an older house, and we've got some big trees, and sometimes the plumbing can get suspect. And by far, I'm the go-to person in the house whenever there is an issue with like a clogged toilet or any type of plumbing issue. And I would say that is my least favorite.
Have you had an issue with a rat or a squirrel or anything like that? Because I've heard squirrels can get in the houses through toilets.
Well, just real quick, we moved to Nebraska 5, 6, 7 years ago, and our first week in Nebraska, if you can imagine, some of you know my wife. She's by far from a rural country gal. And so we got her up, you know, we got everybody moved and everything like that. And our first, it was like our third night in our new house in the middle of the country. You know, you can't see lights or anything like that. It's just dark. And anyway, we're getting ready to go to bed, and a bat got in. Ugh. And I have never heard a blood-curdling scream like I heard that night. I thought we were going to have to move back that night. But anyway, when you think about rats and bats and all those kind of creepy things, that by far our worst experience was a bat in the house.
No bats here in Maryville?
Haven't had a bat yet.
That's weird. You know, the house I stayed in when I was in college up here, we had like 2-3 bat incidents during the entire time there. I don't know why there's so many bats up here. Yeah. Do you have any bat issues?
We have a lot of bat. The house we live in is over 100 years old, and we have a lot of bat. We had a lot of bat issues. Same thing. So, Champ and I, in the middle of the night, like I said, my other male companion will go chasing a bat with a large fish net and dispose of it correctly. You know, the Missouri Conservation Department has some rules on how you're supposed to dispose of those bats. And we do it correctly over in north side of Maryville. But, yeah, we've had some bad issues. I can definitely recommend some good exterminists because we've gotten them fixed, so knock on wood. But
well, I might need to know that. We did not know that in college, and we used pots and pans to catch it.
Louisiana, really large fishing. That's the best thing I've brought up from Louisiana for that.
That's a good idea.
How often does that happen in your house where a bat gets in?
Oh, like I said, knock on wood, it hasn't happened in a while, but there for a few years until we got some things sealed up the way they should be, it happened quite often.
So. Okay. It's wild to me that there's bats up here. Anyway, the other question I had was, without naming ketchup, what do you like to dip your fries in? Or maybe chicken tenders or, you know, what? I feel like everybody here eats fries, but if I had to say it'd be, I don't like dipping in barbecue. Something about constantly putting in something sweet bugs me, but I would say maybe hot mustard or something mixed with horseradish.
Not bad. For me, it starts and ends with ranch.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm a connoisseur.
Now, what kind of ranch? Because I've slowly learned over the years that there's apparently a wide variety of just regular. There's house ranch, restaurant ranch, buttermilk ranch.
Oh, yeah, there is. Buttermilk creamy right there.
Okay. And is there something, and I say restaurant ranch, and I don't know how true this is, but apparently restaurant ranch tastes just different somehow. Is that true?
I would totally agree with that. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
My flavor palate doesn't pick up on that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right. Coach?
Favorite dipping sauce?
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to say, like, I try and eat healthy and not use a lot of it. But, and again, being in the South, Raising Cane's, they're... Chicken, their special sauce called Raising Cane's for chicken fingers has always been my favorite.
Did you ever have, what's the other southern chicken? Is it Bojangles? Is that what it's called?
There's a lot down there. I know I've eaten a lot of, I didn't know what, you know, boudin was and jambalaya, and you can get a lot of stuff in there that you don't know what it is, but it tastes good.
Is there a food you miss from the South?
Crawfish. Yeah, I love crawfish. Good crawfish boil in the South.
Ooh.
It's always good.
But that's all right.
Seafood always tastes different outside the Midwest.
Absolutely.
I always tell people, I'm like, even if you don't want to go to the coast or see like, you got to try the seafood out there if you like seafood. It's just different. It's bigger. It's great. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining me, guys. Anything else you guys wanted to talk about or mention before we close it out?
No, just appreciate you having us both on, and encourage everybody to... April 2nd, go out and vote and make sure to be an informed voter.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.